The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for being here today. See if you can relate to any of these statements. You have too many things to do and not enough time to do them. You thought you were a juggler, but you find a few balls on the floor. You promise to take time for yourself, but you tend to give that time to someone or something else that needs it more than you. You want work-life balance, but you figured there is no such thing. Christina Buveri has found a path that has been extremely successful for her. She is the president and CEO of Reston Limousine, Washington's premier chauffeured transportation provider and one of the top 20 largest operators in the nation. Starting with only five vehicles in 1990, she diversified the business and grew it to an $18 million firm today with more than 160 vehicles. As a woman in an industry traditionally dominated by male executives, Christina has been committed to supporting women entrepreneurs over the years, and she is the founder of a monthly networking luncheon, Sterling Women, and the annual Virginia Women's Business Conference. Recognized for her business acumen regionally and nationally, Christina is an international speaker on topics ranging from startup success strategies to the use of social media in growing your business. Her recent awards include the 2013 International Women's Entrepreneurial Challenge, 2012 Business Leader of the Year from DC Chamber of Commerce, Smart CEO's Smart 100, and 2011 Nova Exec Magazine Top 20 Innovators. And it is my pleasure to have her here as my guest today. Christina, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You have been in the news locally for quite some time. As a matter of fact, one is hard-pressed to look at a local business publication, whether that's a magazine or a newspaper, and not see something about you. And as I said in the bio, your accomplishments kind of speak for themselves. But I know you to be a very, very busy person. So juggling family, business, which obviously is not a business that, you know, you took it and kind of worked it. You made it mushroom. That seems to be absorbing time and energy from every which way. Give us your one or two strategies for being able to juggle all of those things. I know you are big on building a support network. Is that part of the trick?
Absolutely. In fact, that's something I did not learn early on. For the first 10 years that I was in business, I never left my office and I had no network. It was only after 9/11, when business became slow, that I was forced to get out and kind of pound the pavement and meet people and try and get some more business. And that's when I started to learn about how great networking is in so many ways. It's so great to meet other business people out there. It's great to meet potential vendors, take classes, seminars, read business books. and enjoy all the content you get when you're out networking, which is really why my business grew from that point on so fast.
Tell us about that, because it's not that your business just grew, but those who see you, and I have been fortunate enough to be one of them in the Sterling Women's Network, that is a group that it has a true following. People want to be there, and they want to come there because clearly they get something out of it. If you wouldn't mind, explain to our listeners what it is that the group is, why you think your audience flocks, what it is that they get, and more importantly, what it is that you get.
Okay. Well, why Sterling Women is so successful and has such a great following is that the mission is very pure. It's all about showcasing women in business. There's no other agenda. So there are no membership dues. There are no requirements. You just come if you feel like it. And because it's that relaxed, people love going to that lunch. And if they're a busy woman like me and a mom with all these kids, they don't have time for shopping. So there's a shopping component for 1 hour from 11 to 12. And then we sit down to a fairly nutritional lunch. And then we have an incredible speaker at 12:30 who inspires us. I try and pick women in the local community that run multi-million dollar businesses to speak at my lunch. And I tell them just to tell their story, how they got into their field, what challenges they may have had, and how they overcame them. And that's really, you know, what I asked them to talk about. And then when the lunch is over, there are about 50 door prizes. So some people come just for the door prizes because they're so great. So we have a great, great group of people. I now have 10,000 women in my database, and about 150 women come to this lunch each month.
And that's an impressive group, not only in the numbers, but also in the background of this women, and kudos to you for doing that. But I don't suppose that the network, in its networking sense, was only active in your mind in the group that you run now. Networking is part of a person's being. You either do it or you don't. It's a learned behavior, for sure. But in my experience, those who network outside of the office also network inside the family as well. Do you find yourself to be one of those?
Absolutely. And it's through my network that I'm able to do what I do. And actually, it's crazy because I do have this women's lunch, but I would say there are actually more men in my network than women. And that is because at most of the events that I go to or board meetings or CEO groups, I find myself to be one of the only women there. And that's another reason why I started at Sterling Women, because I felt like I needed to be around more women, because in my world, in the transportation industry, at industry events, at the conventions annually, and usually meetings with competitors about proposals, I just find myself surrounded by men. And so I do have a really large network of men through the Loudoun CEO Cabinet, my Vistage group. I belong to Seven Chambers, and so I have a really great big network of both men and women that I've spent about 14 years developing.
Let's talk about the business. I was lucky enough to hear your story, but I think it bears repeating it for the benefit of our listeners. You were not trained in business, as I recall.
Correct.
Is that correct?
And correct.
So take us from there. How do you enter a business which most people, when they hear about a transportation business, they do not think of a woman owner or operator of the business? And how do you take a business that was doing well, but you made it do that much better?
Well, I had a degree in international affairs from George Washington University, and I actually wanted to join the Foreign Service. So I went to university, and my senior year, I was given an internship at a nonprofit organization that had projects in Africa to uplift the status of women. So when I graduated from college, they offered me a job, and I decided to pursue that field instead of the Foreign Service. Well, I did that for a couple of years, and I was actually assigned to Somalia. And after a couple of years in Somalia, I decided I did not want to do that for a living, so I came back to the States, and the only job I could find was 100% paid commission sales advertising job. And so I was selling advertising, and that is how I met my ex-husband, who was the founder of Wrestling Limousine. So I sold him an ad, and we started dating, and then he said, quit your job and come work for me. I can't afford to pay you, but I'll pay your bills. So that sounded like a good deal for me, and so I did quit that job. I went to go work for Wrestling Limousine, and the first thing I said to him is, why don't we do weddings, and why don't we do this, and why don't we do that? And he's like, well, if you want to diversify markets, feel free. And that's all he had to say, because I was just very energetic. I was very motivated. I had a fire in my belly, and for the first time in my life, I was really working for myself. And I found that the harder I worked, the more money I made, and I liked that. So I was young, I was energetic, and I just worked 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for many, many years, and did exactly that. And I diversified our markets into government contracts, university, hospital shuttles, all sorts of other companies that use buses to move people, and that's really our niche.
And the sky is the limit, because I guess the growth of the business is limited only by the creativity to pursue new markets.
Yes.
So, as busy as you are, do you find that you need to take time for yourself, and do you take time for yourself?
Yes, I am very busy, and I, as you said, am a mother. I have four children. They're all teenagers now, and I work full-time. And somehow I have to, it's almost like you have two jobs. You know, you work during the day and then you come home at night, and it's almost like having a second job, because you now have other things you have to do pretty much until you go to bed, including the weekends. So, I do take time for myself. I get a massage once a week, which I think is key to my survival. Because that 1 hour is just for me. You know, I might be putting in 50 hours at the office and 40 hours for my kids, and then that one hour of massage once a week kind of recharges my batteries and rejuvenates me, and it makes me feel really good, and it is vital, I think, to my sanity. So I do that, and I don't work weekends anymore. Haven't worked weekends probably for about 10 years, but I did work weekends. I worked 7 days a week probably for 5 or 6 years, and I take some time off. I now take probably 6 weeks off a year. Just 5 or 6 years ago, I probably only took 2 weeks off a year, but that's one of the things that I learned when I joined Vistage, which is a CEO membership organization. One of the first things they told me is that one of their missions was for us CEOs to take more time off. And so, you know, I feel like I take a good amount of time off, and I, you know, don't overwork.
And that's very important, I'm well aware of Vistage's mission and desire to encourage CEOs to take time off, because most of us, unfortunately, falsely believe that unless we are there, the business is not going to run, and that is not necessarily the case. So let's talk more about that and an awful lot of other things on the other side of a short break. My guest is Christina Viveri, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Christina Buveri. Please visit her website, restonlimo.com, and follow her on Twitter at restonlimo. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisepicu.com or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Epicu, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Before we move on with Christina, I just want to send out a very heartfelt thank you to all of you, the listeners, who have made this show what it is. And last week, we've celebrated the second anniversary on the air, one of the longer-running shows on Voice America. And that could not have happened had it not been for your weekly listenership. So I thank you very much for that. While we were on break, we received a question from one of our listeners. This comes from Joanna in Camden, New Jersey. She asks, Christina, what were the most difficult challenges you encountered being in a predominantly male-owned business, and what advice would you give to women entering a male-dominated industry?
Well, that's a great question, and you might be surprised by my answer, but I have to honestly say that I can't think of a single time in my career that I felt that I was challenged because I was a woman. All of the challenges that happened to me in business didn't happen to me because I was a woman. They would have happened to anybody. And the biggest example of that would be really 9/11, when business really came to a standstill and my bank dropped me. They said, you know, go find another bank. We don't want to insure you anymore, or we don't want to bank with you anymore because you have all of these buses running around in D.C. and we think that the next terrorist attack could come into Washington. So that happened to me whether I was a man or a woman. That would happen. And I had to go out and interview 20 banks, and 19 told me no, and finally a bank picked me up. But again, it wasn't because I was a man or a woman that happened, and I solved it the same way a man would have solved it. And I truly recommend to any other woman in business that you have to have a support system. So my support system is as follows. I have a live-in nanny at home, and she takes care of the house, makes sure it's clean, and she does the cooking. And then at the office, I have an executive assistant that reports to me, and she is, she's everything for me. She's my right arm, and she even takes care of a lot of personal errands for me since I don't often have time to do those. And then, of course, the rest of my team at work is very strong. You have to have great people working for you that are good at their jobs, love their jobs, and to be honest, they're all better at their jobs than I ever was. And so I surround myself with really smart, wonderful people. And I did mention that my ex-husband started a company. Well, we worked together for 10 years, and then we decided he would be a stay-at-home dad. So he stayed home with the kids for 10 years. So during those second 10 years of our marriage, he
he did all the driving and took the kids to all the activities and did the grocery shopping and, you know, took care of the household for me. So we decided 10 years into our marriage that it would be great if one of us could stay home. I just didn't want to be the one staying home with the four kids. So he took that role, and I was doing really well at the office. I was writing the proposals, and I was managing the contracts, and so I was kind of the natural one to stay at work. Unfortunately, that story doesn't have the best ending because we ended up getting divorced. But now three of my kids are driving. They have cars. They have part-time jobs, and they're very independent, and they'll drive the younger one around. So I think it's great. I mean, it's obviously stressful when your kids are driving, but it's better than me driving them around. So it's all worked out really well.
So get the help from wherever it is that you can get it is what I'm hearing. And that is entirely true. And why not? I mean, what better way for your children to help their siblings? And that also, to some degree, bodes very well for mentoring. And
yes. And you know, Chris, I'd really like to add another point to this.
Please.
Another reason why it's important to have a support system if you're a woman in business is that some of the best opportunities you're ever going to get are before work and after work. They're either a 7 o'clock monthly board meeting or perhaps an economic club dinner at night. Whatever it is, if you don't have a support system and you can't carve out time to go to those events, you're not going to be able to take your career to the next level. And that's something I did religiously. You know, I had someone else getting them on the bus, getting my kids on the bus so that I could go to board meetings, get on boards to other events at night. You have to be willing to work, you know, before and after hours to grow your business.
Most people, men or women, or men and women alike, tend to work a bit too much, almost doing nothing else but working. To their detriment, their physical health, mental health, relationships, what have you. And that seems to be something that of recent days, many psychologists and other experts are trying to encourage people to set limits between work and personal time, and whether it is checking email at some point that you're used to doing that at a nonstop fashion, they are suggesting that you kind of have clear delineation points from work and home, and you allow yourself to kind of take a deep breath while you're home. And I would assume that you have managed that as well based on what you said. Did you have any particular tricks, if you will, that helped you get there?
I'm going to say that I'm not very good at that, okay? I'm pretty much, you know, connected 24/7. And but still, I mean, my laptop and my phone allow me to pretty much do my work from anywhere. So am I at the office 9 to 5? No. Am I working from home most mornings? Yes. Do I go to all of my son's tennis matches? He's undefeated, probably going to go to states, and I go to probably 80% of his tennis matches. So I take 2 hours off in the afternoon to go to his tennis match, but when I get home at night, you know, I get back on my computer and I finish what has to be done. So I think, you know, technology is a gift and it's a curse, because we are all more productive, but then people expect us to be, you know, connected 24/7. And I have to say that I'm pretty much, and I would not say that I have mastered the work-life balance in that regard. I'm still I'd much rather stay on top of it than to turn it off or be away from it and have it all pile up. So I still pretty much answer my email from the time I wake up until I go to sleep at night.
But while I appreciate that, I will argue with you that you do have a work-life balance, because the work-life balance is the fact that you are indeed taking 2 hours off in the afternoon to go watch your son play tennis. Those who don't have that balance, they will actually stay at work, miss the game, and then go back home and continue working some more. So let's talk more about that and a whole lot of other things on the other side of a short break. My guest is Christina Buveri, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epiciu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epiciu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epiciu. My guest is Christina Buveri, and I ask you to visit her website at restandlimo.com and follow her on Twitter at restandlimo. During the break, Christina and I were talking about the audiences and the listenership of this program, that it is obviously an international program, and it does have a strong subscription from our home state here in Virginia, but it is listened to very heavily throughout the country and worldwide. And she told me that while the her company is based here in Virginia, it is not necessarily a company that services only this area. So, Christina, take a minute or two and tell us about that.
Okay, well, thanks to LinkedIn and social media and the limousine conventions, we have actually set up an affiliate network of limousine companies worldwide, and many of our customers take advantage of one-stop shopping. They call us and they say, okay, we need a car in Washington, D.C., then we're going to New York, Boston, and then on to Paris, Dubai, and we handle all of those arrangements for them with one phone call. So we are able to provide a car in any city in the world, a car or a bus or a limousine. And that's really an area of growth for me because some customers use us because we're woman-owned and they get points for using woman-owned businesses. And they're looking for vendors that can provide global service. And I have other customers that have us handle their work in other cities. Like I've got this one big account that does a lot of relocating of their employees. Every single day I have 10 trips for them in Portland, Oregon, Phoenix, Arizona, and they never use me in Washington. They don't have a use in Washington, but we're always busy on the West Coast for them. So
that's an area of growth for me, and I like that area because it means I can grow my business without buying more cars. Right now I have 80 vehicles, and we have 4 locations, and if I get one more contract, I'm going to have to leave some more space. So a great way for me to grow my business without having more infrastructure costs is to create these relationships and provide cars through other companies in other cities.
And how can other companies or other users of or seekers of that service find you?
On our website, www.restinlimo.com, Restin is with an R, and through our website and calling our main office, they can book a car anywhere in the world.
Perfect.
Thank you.
One more question from one of our listeners. This comes from George in Pittsburgh, PA. He says, Christina, you mentioned the importance of being involved in networking and joining a peer group. Would you please explain the advantages of joining a peer group and how to find one?
Okay, I would love to answer that. I've been in a peer group since 2007, and it was the best business decision I ever made because I take a day off from work each month, and I go to a retreat with 18 other CEOs. And in the morning, we listen to a speaker who is Harvard MBA quality speaker. And in the afternoon, we solve each other's business problems. And then included in this subscription, if you will, is a business coach that works with me one-on-one for 2 hours every single month. So when you own a business, there's no one to hold you accountable. So I highly recommend business coaches because they usually have a great point of view, great experience, and they're not there to advise you. They're there to coach you and make you a better leader. And they can, you know, recommend business books. They can recommend seminars. They can do strategy retreats with your whole team and get everyone on the same page. So this peer group has really been probably the single best decision I ever made. Now, in terms of peer groups for other people, I know that I think you have to do more than $3 million a year to get into Vistage, but there's another group called Entrepreneurs Organization, and you have to do $1 million a year in revenue to get into that group. And that group also has a different group for emerging entrepreneurs. So if you Google Entrepreneurs Organization, you should be able to find a peer group. And if you have any trouble at all, feel free to contact me, and I would be happy to connect you. There have to be at least 20 or 30 peer groups out there for business people.
Excellent. And there's one more question. Obviously, listeners are really paying attention today. This comes from Vincent in Scottsdale, Arizona. Probably used one of your cars.
Hopefully.
He says, since you and your husband work together in the business, I am curious to know how you handled getting divorced with your kids and your staff. What was the greatest difficulty and what was the greatest prize?
Well, the greatest difficulty was the day we had to tell our children we were getting divorced. That was definitely the worst day of my life. Now, in terms of the staff, my spouse hasn't worked in the business for over 15 years. Wrestling Limousine has been in business 24 years, and 15 years ago, he stopped coming to the office and was a stay-at-home dad. So I have to say, I don't think my staff was that surprised. And they were very supportive, and they basically said, you know, we're here for you. Do what you have to do. And you know what's really ironic? The first year of my separation, I have to say I was not as engaged as I used to be. And that was the best year our company ever had. We had the highest revenues and the highest profits in the history of the company. So that tells me that the secret to being a successful business person is to, you know, hire the right people and then let them do their jobs. And surround yourself with the right people. That was definitely a great lesson that I learned. So I addressed the children, I addressed staff, and he said, I guess the greatest prize in all of this is that somehow we were able to work everything out, and I was able to buy the business from him. So now he has his money, and I have my company 100%. That would have to be the biggest prize.
That's wonderful. So clearly communicating openly, communicating with the children and sharing less than good news with them is never an easy thing, especially when it deals with that. And unfortunately, I know exactly how that goes as well. But being open with your team is one of the telltale signs of true leadership, because I'm sure you've experienced that there are too many people out there who think that if something is going wrong in the business, they will kind of keep it to themselves and try to solve it and then bring the rest of the team in when pretty much everything is solved. That may be a way of communicating, but in my experience, it's not the best way, because what you might find out is while you were busy enough trying to solve the problem, people that are within the company that you could have leaned on to help you find the solution feel left out because they were not part of it. And more often than not, people get disillusioned when they see turmoil of personal or business nature, and they look for the doors. Clearly, that did not happen in your company, but has that been your experience?
Absolutely. Whenever I feel as if there are rumblings at the office, either among the managers or office staff or maybe my chauffeur, I try and address it immediately. And I'll even, you know, draft a letter and send it out to every single employee telling them exactly what's going on. And I've had to do that many times, because there have been times when, you know, we've lost a contract or the economy or the stock market crashed or something happened. And the worst thing is having people unclear as to what their future is. And they just want to hear what's going on. And so you just have to always communicate freely and openly. And I have an open door policy. And it's really important to me that the employees feel that they can come talk to me. And, you know, I just kind of try and nip it in the bud and address it immediately. And that seems to work. I have to say, the divorce in my mind, I hope it's not just in my mind, really didn't impact my company at all.
And that's a wonderful thing to hear, and something that I believe others who may be going through the same situation now ought to pay attention to it, because from my personal experience, I certainly agree with you, and I can say that it will only affect you in business if you let it affect you. And if you bring the problems from home into the office, then not only do you not get an occasion to breathe, but then it becomes a problem 24/7. And so just separating the two is really the right way to do it. When we come back from a short break, I want to talk about the value of mentoring, and mentoring not only your staff from, you know, whatever those positions will be to advance to the next position, but also mentoring the children and how they can be all that they can be, having you as their leader at this point. Let's take a short break. We'll be back in a moment with my guest, Christina Buveri. I'm Chris FSCU. Stay with us.
News, opinion, passion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris FSCU understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Christina Boveri, and I'm asking you to visit her website, restinlimo.com, and follow her on Twitter at restinlimo. Christina, there are an awful lot of people who, in fact, certain professions that even today believe in the power of the buddy system, as they call it, which is another word to describe mentorship. The way we train doctors is one of them. The way we train lawyers is another. Where an apprentice, if you will follow somebody who is in a more advanced age, and then that person will follow somebody who is in an even more advanced age, and so on and so forth. To what degree are you doing that in the business? And also, are you doing that at home?
That's a great question. I haven't had too many mentors that were in my business. Of course, there are people that I look up to in my business, but I'm the 13th largest limousine service in the country, so there's only 12 companies bigger than mine, and of course, I look up to all of them. But one thing that I've learned is that I can learn from anybody. I can learn from somebody who has 100 cars, and I can learn from an operator that has 5 cars. So not only am I in a peer group in Washington with other CEOs, I'm in another peer group with limousine companies from all over the country. And we get together 4 times a year and share best practices. And that's another great tip today, is to be in a lot of people call those 20 groups, to be in a group of 20 other businesses that are in the same business as you all over the country, and learn from each other. That's been another great, great thing that we've done at Reston Limousine. So we also attend the annual conventions for the limousine business, and we attend seminars. And I'm a lifelong learner, so I'm always trying to make myself better however I can, whether it's reading a book or taking a class or a seminar. I'm just a lifelong learner. So that's, I think, really important if you want to grow your business. And to know that there's always someone out there that can show you a better way. In terms of my kids, you know, they hate the fact that I'm, you know, so busy and, you know, can't go to everything they want me to go to and do everything they want me to do. But they also, I think, respect me and know that I'm a successful business person in our community. And I know they're very proud of me when other people, you know, might mention they saw an article about me in the paper or the magazine. So I really think in that regard, I'm sort of leading by example. And, you know, they've all talked about maybe coming into the limousine business at some point. But I said, look, the only thing I'm going to force you to do is you're going to have to go to college. You know, I don't care where you go to college. I don't care what you study, but you're going to go and you're going to get a degree. And I want you to do something you love. I said, you know, don't come into the limousine business. It's way too stressful. We're open 24/7. You know, I'd like to see you do something more relaxing. But if you try another career and it doesn't work out, you can always come back to the limousine business. I can be your plan B. And I said, but don't think you're going to come into my company as a manager. You're going to start out in the car wash department. you're going to wash cars first, and then you're going to learn how to take a reservation, and then you're going to learn how to take it to be a dispatcher. You are going to have to earn your way up from the bottom before you'll ever be a manager. And of course they say, but Mom, we want to make the kind of money you make. And I just kind of laugh and say, well, you know, as long as you start out washing cars, yeah, maybe one day you can take over my job.
And that's very important, because most kids will actually, whose parents are run a successful business, they will look at that outcome and assume that I can step right into that chair and, you know, this will be mine, forgetting the fact that you didn't start out in that chair, and the reason you're successful is because you know how to do every step that is below you. And so being able to teach them that is an extremely important fact. Very close to what we're talking about is a question that just came in from Harvey in Frederick, Maryland. He says, do your children have an interest in working in your business? If so, how do you handle or avoid concerns of nepotism? Have you developed a mentoring program that for new hires, and those include your children?
Well, that's a great question. You know, my kids are still teenagers. So right now they're more interested in their sports and where they're going to go to college, and they do have part-time jobs elsewhere. My son, who was 17 last summer, washed cars for me all summer, 40 hours a week. He did a fantastic job. And all the other car washers came up to me and said, hey, you know, we thought your son was going to be lazy, but he works really hard. And my son said to me, hey, Mom, I really love the job. And I said, really? He says, yeah, I love it. It's fun. I feel like I'm accomplishing something, and it's also good exercise watching all those cars. So for right now, I don't really have, I do have my girls writing thank you cards and stuffing envelopes and maybe doing some filing, but I don't really have any of them in a more serious role at the company. We do have a policy in our HR department that we frown on hiring friends and family because we've had problems in the past. But of course, you know, my children are not really family because they are basically owners of the company. I mean, they're going to inherit everything that I have. And so I would think that any of them could obviously work at the company if they want to. I don't really see any of them really coming into the business, though, because they have such different interests right now, and none of them are in business. One of my daughters is really good at art, and she's already been offered a scholarship to art schools. Unless she was like a graphic designer for me down the road someday, I don't really see her coming in. I would also be excited if they all did come into the business one day. And if they did, I think my biggest problem then would be, you know, who gets what job? You know, right. You're all going to want to be the CEO. So, of course, like I said, they would have to start at the bottom and work their way to the top and see who excels in what department.
Very true. Let's finish the last minute or two that we have with me asking you this question that's being asked now by every businesswoman, and that is what I affectionately call the Sheryl Sandberg effect. To what degree do you believe that there is life-work balance? Is that a true goal, or is it just vapor and we pay it lip service, but it is not an attainable goal?
Well, I'm going to say yes. I think we can have life-work balance. But that means I can't go to every children's event, especially with four kids, and that means I can't go to every business opportunity. It means that every single day or every single week, I have to sit down and look at my schedule, my calendar, and I have to make choices. And I have to, you know, compromise on both sides. But I think that I've done that, and I feel as if I've been a great mom. I know I'm a good business person. Yes, do I still feel guilty? Sure. I mean, when I'm at work, sometimes I feel like I should be at home, and when I'm at home, sometimes I feel like I should be at work. So I don't think the guilt goes away. I don't think you can ever feel 100% satisfied with you know, what you've chosen to do. But I think 80%. I think I would be happy if I felt 80% that I had accomplished work-life balance at about an 80%.
And 80% is way more than most people would ever expect to accomplish, and that's quite admirable. Christina, you've been a great guest. I've very much enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for being here, and I hope that you'll consider joining us at some future program.
I would love to.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. I hope that you join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Chris Efesiou.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.